Hi, and welcome to Healthy Vibes for Women with me, Danny. Today's topic is quite interesting. It's all about allergies. And so some people obviously have food allergies. My guest today will be talking about how you can cook friendly allergy meals. Oh, gosh.
So my name is Amanda Lee's Love, and I'm a registered holistic nutritionist, and I teach women how to cook healthy, simple, delicious, allergy-friendly meals. And I also help women get back their energy levels, improve their sleep, and just a whole holistic approach to getting well.
All right. Oh, thank you so much for that very good introduction. I know that you talked about your health. That for 20 years. So can you sort of like tell listeners what it was about that you had for 20 years or so you mentioned?
Yeah, so I was actually very sick as a child. I was born 6 weeks early. A lot of fatigue, pain, sinus headaches, sinus infections. I used to run at really high temperature for several years, and then I would run a low temperature where it would just go up just a teeny bit, and it would still be called a normal temperature, but I would be down for the count. And I was always sick for like 10 days at a time. And adding in school with that, I was always playing catch up, right? And I also got held back at one point because I just couldn't keep up with school and stuff, and I had learning difficulties also. School did not come easy for me. And my parents divorced when I was six. My dad remarried when I was 8 years old. And that whole situation was very traumatic for me. Like, I couldn't speak up. When I did speak up, I would get in trouble and I would have to go stand in the corner. And there was a lot of just like lectures and stuff like that, and the courts actually got involved that last year when I was 13 years old. And so my grandmother and my mother, who raised me, were like, we're moving to Arizona to get away from this. And that was the reason we left California. And this was back in 2013. And fast forward, I was still getting sick in Arizona, but it was every 4 to 6 weeks at that point. Same issues. Most of the time it was sinus infections. It was once in a while I would have the flu, but it wasn't, maybe that would be once a year, if that. And I completed a personal training program right out of high school. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a personal trainer. I love fitness. I love nutrition. But when I was doing that program, I was like, I love nutrition so much. I want to do more. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at colleges, and I turned 20 and right after that program ended, and like 2 weeks later, and all of a sudden I was the sickest I had ever been. I couldn't get out of bed. I was so fatigued. I was in so much pain. I was so exhausted. Like, I just couldn't focus. I stopped going to the gym. I was taking like hour and a half naps, and I never felt well rested. And so 10 months later, we went to one of the top rheumatology places in the country. This is in Mesa, Arizona. So this is Southern Arizona. And they were like, well, you have fibromyalgia. And this was at 20 years old.
Oh, wow. So how did, so obviously when they told you that, then obviously, what was your first, like your first reaction? What was going through your head at that time when you were diagnosed?
The biggest thing was like, okay, at least I have a name to it. Mm. And I thought that was going to be some way that was going to be like, give me the solution to getting well. And it really wasn't, because I thought at that time, I thought the doctors had the answers to getting me well, but their answers were, okay, we're going to do physical therapy. And I did physical therapy. I did swimming. I did weight training. And the only thing that was relaxing was when they would put the warm towels on my back and stuff after working out. But I would just come out crying because I was in so much pain. And their second option was do medication. And they do and the medication that they really advertise, especially in America, is Cymbalta and Lyrica. And if you look it up, there's a great website called drugs.com where you can look up like medications and stuff, and I'll tell you side effects. But it was an antidepressant.
Ooh.
And I laugh at that now because I'm like, that's what they thought for a 20-year-old, that she should be on that. When I went out of the room, I knew they were saying something. And they didn't want to say it to my face. So I asked my grandmother, and she's like, yeah, they think you're depressed. Of course, someone's depressed at 20. If she can't do errands, she can't go to church, she can't live a full life. And I have a sister who's exactly 2 years younger than me who could have a life, and I couldn't have a life. I couldn't do things with my sister and now her husband, right? But at that point, it was her boyfriend. I couldn't do things with them and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. I guess when the reason I asked that question is, I know this is something that quite a number of people have been going through. I've been sort of like reading up on that, and it's kind of becoming something that it's very common, but also is now being recognized as something that people go through. In terms of that, how did you sort of like then, obviously nutrition will come in into this now, and how did you sort of then go from being, like you said, depressed and constantly, you know, going to sleep and not feeling great? How then did you reverse all of that with your nutrition side, with nutrition?
After physical therapy and like the medication, I went to pain management, and that was something I don't recommend anyone doing. So they would shoot this huge needle into all of like your back, your like shoulders and stuff, like 12 of the 18 trigger points, I tell people. And what I tell people is your blood sugar would crash because you feel lightheaded and stuff because they're shooting a needle into you and stuff like that. And the only thing they would tell you is have cookies and juice to raise it back up. And they told me I had to do 3 treatments, and I only did 2 because I would just come out and I was just crying. I was in so much pain. I was constantly in pain. Like all the time I was crying. And I would just be like, I want to get better, grandma, and stuff like that. So fast forward to the following year, my grandmother saw a newspaper clipping, said wellness talk by a wellness chiropractor. She went to the talk, and it was only like 10 minutes away from where we were living. And he said, if your granddaughter has fibromyalgia at 20, she's been very sick for a very long time. And that's when my grandmother was like, told me, she's like, a light bulb went off in her head. And she's like, oh, he really gets it. He really gets it. And my grandma had done nursing in the past and stuff like that. And I found out that in July 2011 that I had food sensitivities. So the highest in his practice at the time had a very high gluten sensitivity. Both parents gave me that, both one set of gene from each parent, a soy sensitivity, egg sensitivity, dairy sensitivity. And that's been 11 years.
Wow. So when you said about the allergies, and I now want to sort of like move on from that, you said your grandma supported you. Were there other people around that you could like relate with as well, relate to regarding that? And like, did you have like a support network that kind of helped you deal with it? Obviously, because this is not just sort of like your emotion, not just the illness, but the sort of like obviously emotionally, mentally as well, you were sort of that, because I'm sure that maybe somebody who's listening right now could actually be going through the same thing or know someone who's going through it. So yeah, that's why I'm kind of like, you know, yeah, just wanted to know what that was about.
I am actually, the only support people I had was my grandmother. She would do the cooking, my mother, who followed like the elimination plan with me, and stuff like that. And then my sister was sort of away at college at that point. So I didn't have like a huge network and I didn't really care at that point, right? I think that's the problem now with anyone who has fibromyalgia is there's so many like Facebook groups, but they're so negative. Aww. that's they don't want to get well. So you have to be careful about being in Facebook groups, I tell people, mm-hmm. because that's a slippery slope and it's not people who have the expertise to help you.
Mm, yeah, and I guess in a way you're quite right, because yeah, I mean, the social media does have this whole thing about, you know, there are good things about social media, right? Also, you've got the bad, and yeah. We're talking about all the negative stuff and everything else. So moving on from that, how then did you move into the cooking side of things? Let's go on to something more interesting now. So, yeah, how did you move into cooking? You said allergy-friendly meals, yeah.
Yeah, so that's something like more recently where I'm like, mm-hmm. I was super focused on people with fibromyalgia. And if people come to me and they still want help with fibromyalgia, I am definitely that person if you want a holistic approach. But I also am like, I'm more than fibromyalgia. That's a big part of me. And it always will be a big part of me. But I also am like, I love to cook. I love teaching people. I am very like, teaching is like one of my passions and stuff like that. I always want people to realize how big of a part food plays into our health, right? It's not just one thing, right? So like learning how to cook food, learning how to like meal prep, how to like make your life easier so you could have the most energy to be there for the people that you need to be there for.
Okay, right, that's really good. So if somebody obviously listening to this right now, what would you say to them in terms of what to do? You know, you talked about meal prep and stuff like that. Is there kind of like, what for example, just give me like one meal, top of your head now, what one particular meal would you recommend? Just someone starting out, just one particular meal.
So I always go back to the basics. Okay. And that's make sure you have a protein, a vegetable, and a carb. So I love roasted sweet potatoes. So roasted sweet potatoes with roasted broccoli, roasted zucchini, whatever, with seasonings. Throw it into your oven with some baked chicken. Ooh. That makes several meals for a week. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good, because if there's one thing I've kind of talked about a lot on this podcast is about, you know, we talked about meal prep and how that is really, really important for people when they're going through that. But there are also some people who will kind of like say to you, but I'm so ill right now, I don't have the energy to go through the meal prep. What would you say to them to give to motivate them to be able to say, you know, start on this meal prep, having sort of like going through what you're going through right now, but just kind of give them that scare to start?
I say if you're too ill and you don't have someone to help you, then start with your sleep. I know I'm supposed to say something about like with the food and the meal prepping, but if you're so exhausted and you're so fatigued, then we gotta get your sleep in order because most likely your sleep's not in order first, and that's a big thing. So that's also something I like to help people with because I'm like, if we don't have our sleep in order, then we're gonna eat the bad stuff. We're gonna eat the sugar. We're gonna eat the cookies. We're gonna not even make a meal or and stuff like that. And I'm understand it too because if I'm too tired or I've overrun myself or I've done too much, I'll go for whatever that sweet is, or I'll go for the sugar. And I'm not perfect, and I'll have sugar once in a while. I want people to know just because I'm a nutritionist doesn't mean I don't have like sugar. I just might make a healthier version of something, like a chocolate avocado pudding is always delicious. Or like a fruit crumble, I have a healthier version for that that I like to make. But once in a while, I will have like a dairy-free ice cream. But that little container has a lot of sugar in it. And that's the thing. I think people think just because it's dairy-free, gluten-free, add stuff, they have to put a lot of sugar into it to make it taste good. And our taste buds get used to the sugar. So for me personally, I know it'll say 4 servings, but I'm like, it's addicting for me. So I probably will have it in like 2, right? So that's the thing. Realize, okay, just because it's gluten-free or dairy-free, and there's so much has come out in the last like 10 years since I've gone allergy-free. There's so many options. It would take years for you to try every single thing. And you don't want to do that, but I'm just saying it would take like years because there's so many, there's probably 1,000 products of things out there, right? But I always say look at the ingredients list. If you can't pronounce it, then you probably shouldn't be having it. Or if it comes like in a can or a box, then you shouldn't be having it. But it's okay. It's okay to have a cookie. Like there's a restaurant here and they do like cookies. And I'm like, and I could get like these cookies and bake them. But, and I once in a while do that. But just having a, make it a habit to have like your dessert not at home, right? So if you want to have a cookie, then go out and have the ice cream, have a cookie. You don't go out probably that often, right? And stuff. And so it's not going to kill you to have a cookie or a ice cream or have that piece of cake at that friend's wedding and sit down and actually enjoy it with no distractions. Because a lot of times with dessert, we eat just because we're bored and we're eating in front of the television or the computer. And so we're not even enjoying that dessert.
I mean, you're totally right, because I mean, I agree with you in the sense that, when you go out, eat that cake. I'm sort of like, generally I bake, but I don't subscribe to cake as such. I wouldn't bake a cake for myself. I would rather sort of like, maybe I'm out or something, and once in a while just treat myself. So I think more or less it's kind of like obviously having an occasional treat, but then so there's nothing, like you rightly said, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sugar free, but sometimes I would eat sugar when I'm out, but then I know that I'm not bringing sugar into my home. So I think in a sense
Right.
it's looking at it in a sense that when you go out, say go for your grocery shopping, are you going to put that apple pie, from the frozen section? Are you going to dump that into your basket? you know, so in that, that's the way I would.
Right.
Yeah. And then you kind of think, okay, no, obviously you wouldn't want to do that. But if you were to go out to a restaurant with friends or at a friend's house and they served apple pie with custard, in my case, I love custard on everything. So, you know, you just say apple pie with custard and then, yeah, you know, I'll happily eat that. But I wouldn't necessarily go out and then buy it, bring it in indoors and eat it. So I think it's kind of having that. Especially when you know you've got a sweet tooth, like you know that, you know, you've got that weakness of having a sweet tooth, I guess.
Yeah, I agree, because we all have like temptations and stuff like that. And I think it's good not to bring it into your house. I mean, once in a while, it's okay if it's your like birthday and you have ice cream for your birthday, whatever, and you bring it into your house. But making sure you don't have it in your house all the time, right? And then there's also so many ways to make it like healthier desserts and stuff like that. So like, it's not as bad for you, but I think it's also good to be like, okay, maybe I'll make this dessert for a special somebody's birthday, and then I could have a serving or a couple servings, and then they could have the rest, or I could leave it at their place, right? For me personally, it's harder because I don't have, like, I'm by myself. So if I make a dessert, I'm not gonna make a big dessert, because like that's pointless, right? But I just feel like, don't bring in like the pies and stuff like that. If you love pie, don't bring in like these huge desserts where you don't need all the calories from that and stuff like that. You don't need the sugar and fat. This is the main thing. I'm not too worried about all the sugar.
Oh, I think we've lost connection here. We just lost connection a little while there. I saw you freeze.
Oh, yeah, you freezed on my end.
Yeah. Oh, I've got my warning from... okay, I'm sorry about that. So yeah, you were talking about sugar and not bringing it in.
Yeah, just don't do it. It's not worth it.
I guess that's the way to look at it as well, because when you know what is sort of like your weak point, like what you've got a weakness for, then you don't necessarily go and do that. So yeah, this is kind of like really interesting, that your take on this. And you know, obviously in terms of what we drink as well, not drinking all those sugary drinks that's all over the place and everything else like that as well, and what that will do and the effect that has as well. So I just wanted to say, basically, gosh, all the questions that I had has pretty much been answered, but I just wanted to sort of like, you know, you mentioned your holistic approach. Can you sort of like just explain more on that, expand on that, I should say? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm all about like learning about the person. So I say, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to go through your health history. But it's a different health history than your normal health history. Yeah, it talks about what your main health concerns are. And like, I ask you about like your food choices and like that type of thing. But it also, I find out, okay, what are your relationships like? What are you dealing with sleep-wise? How are you feeling emotional-wise? I might ask you, what's your spirituality, if you believe or not? But I also find out, okay, it tells me when you fill this out, okay, your immune system might be out of track, okay? That might be the area to work on, because you're always your health concerns relate back to something, some body system. So it might be your digestive system, it might be your immune system, it might be your endocrine system, it might be any of those systems, or it might be a different system. But then I create a plan that's individualized to you. And that's the big thing, right? I believe in a holistic approach. So yes, we might start with learning how to cook a little bit, but we might also learn how to work on our stress levels or just work on our sleep. Like, we might not even work on the nutrition part first. We might work on just getting your sleep in balance or improving your energy or like figuring out, okay, what do I need to change relationship wise and stuff like that. So it's all about just like realizing a one size doesn't fit every person, right? We're all bio individuality. So why do we think in this world that whatever diet is going to be the diet that's going to fix me? And I hate the word diet because it's...
Oh, God, yes. It's one of my episodes as well. I said the same thing.
I hate that word. Early,
season one of my, when I started my podcast. Yes, that was exactly it. Yeah.
I hate that word diet. I'm like, what? That's not what we're here for. We're here to live life. We're supposed to have energy. We're supposed to enjoy it. We're not supposed to be exhausted. We're not supposed to be fatigued. We're not supposed to be in pain. We're not supposed to be dealing with hormone issues. I mean, women, as women, we just deal with a lot. And then add on parents. I mean, anyone who has kids and her parents, and my sister just had a 3-month-old, and she was saying, like, just the doctors don't teach women, like, how to take care of themselves when they're pregnant. And it's, and that's the sad thing. We women especially need our health because we take care of everybody. And we are expected to have a job and do everything else and do the household and all that. So
yeah, exactly.
We're supposed to be like superwoman, and that's the sad thing. We need downtime. We need time to relax. We need rest. And I will talk to people about that too. And I'm learning this myself. I'm like, I just got burnt out 2 months ago. And I was like, I just need downtime. I need time to myself. And stuff like that. But I feel like whatever, like, you need help with holistically, then I like to help people realize, yeah, it might take us some time to work through everything, but we will get there. And you want to be there for the next 10, 20 years, whoever is in your life. So I didn't know that I would have, like 12 years ago, that I would have a niece who's turning 3 next month. And then I also have a niece who's 3 months old, right? And I didn't know that. And a couple of weeks ago, I was able to play with them. I was able to read. I was able to play hide and seek with the little one. But she wasn't, we weren't playing hide and seek. We were playing hide and seek under the blanket type of thing. So that was our hide and seek. But like, and then I hold the baby and stuff like that. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't gotten well. And that's the big thing. You have to have a why for getting well. It has to be a big why, and it should be your driving force to getting well.
Yeah, very, 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 very true. Wow. Quite a lot you've sort of like answered. Yeah, like I said before, you've pretty much answered all my questions. And I just wanted to, so you were talking about how you, people that you work with and so on. So if people were interested in sort of like wanting to work with you, how can they get in touch with you?
So my website is changing right now. So I'm not, I don't have that right now. So the best way to get in touch with me is just to email me amandaleeselove@gmail.com. And my Facebook and my Instagram are also that. And I also have just a free Facebook group where people could actually look and see what I'm about, recipes and videos. And that's Physical Emotional Health Secrets. And my podcast is also that, and that's been going for 3 years and it has over 130 episodes.
Okay. Oh, brilliant. Thank you. So what I'm going to do, as I tend to do normally with all my guests, is I'll put all the details in the show notes anyway. But thank you so much for this very interesting interview, or basically what I'd like to say, conversation. And I hope that everyone that's been listening has actually taken a lot out of it. And please do feel free to share these episodes with your loved ones. And in the meantime, take care of yourselves. And I hope you listen in for the next episode.